Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us for today's media conference call with Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack. As you know, the president gave his State of the Union address last night, and Secretary Vilsack will be highlighting rural revitalization efforts following the president's speech last night. Reporters, if you'd like to ask a question of Secretary Tom Vilsack, please let us know by pressing star 1 on your touchtone pad. Good morning, Mr. Secretary.
Good morning, Susan, and thanks to everyone who's with us this morning. Last night, the president laid out his blueprint for an America that's built to last, based on an economy that's built to last. And I think the president believes, and I believe, and I think many of the people in the country believe, that this is a make-or-break moment for the middle class in this country. We want a country where hard work is rewarded. The president laid out a formula that's fairly simple to explain. He understands that the government, federal government, will need to spend less, but as it spends and invests, it must do so wisely. As he talked about the need for better education and better support for teachers, a continued commitment to research, which is certainly important to agriculture, and modernizing our infrastructure, making sure that we can get product to market more quickly and more efficiently. When we basically have a government that spends less but invests wisely, we help to build an economy that gets America back in the business of making and creating and innovating. Made in America and grown in America is a far more sustainable way to build an economy, to restore the middle class, than schemed in America, which is what we saw in a number of years ago with financial institutions and some of the steps that they took to package poor mortgages. The president last night laid out a tax and regulatory policy that is designed to reward insourcing and job creation here in the United States and discourage outsourcing by companies. He called for the need for a more skilled and educated workforce, which certainly speaks to the needs of rural communities as we try to develop small manufacturing facilities. The important work that folks who work with their hands and skilled labor can do. We obviously need greater numbers of those. And he talked about whole new industries being created in the United States with a focus on clean energy and renewable energy using the latest technology. And it occurred to me as I listened to the speech that the president really is talking about the strength of our economy as it relates to the rural areas of our country, and laid out great opportunity for those rural areas. He spoke with small business, and many of the businesses that are located in small communities across the country are indeed small businesses employing 5 or 10 individuals. Many of those businesses are small manufacturing firms that are developing component parts for things like windmills and the restored auto industry. Certainly the renewable energy production the president spoke of last night will, for the large part, take place in and require investment in rural communities. And, of course, he mentioned the specifics of broadband expansion, enabling small business in rural America to be able to access global markets. When we basically become an economy that makes and creates, innovates, and markets made and grown in America, that we become a nation that exports. And that's what helps create wealth. That's what helps create a strong and sustained middle class. I think agriculture is a proof point for the president's formula. Farmers in the 80s reduced debt. They invested in technology. They increased productivity. They innovated. They produced more, and they figured out ways, creative ways, to use those resources from biofuels and renewable energy to local and regional food systems to expanded export markets, all of which led to record income levels last year for farmers. I think the same formula will work. The president believes the same formula will work for the country. The president also touched upon in his speech issues that are near and dear to agriculture and to rural America. He talked about the need for smart regulations and contrasted the difference between trying to regulate spilled milk versus regulating oil companies that are drilling in our seas. He spoke of the need for a comprehensive immigration reform that certainly agriculture understands and appreciates the need for, given the fact that so many of the individuals who are involved in processing, packaging, and picking our agricultural produce are immigrant labor. He was very heartened by the fact that he spoke of increased trade enforcement and making sure that when we enter into trade agreements that both sides comply with those trade agreements. Certainly Many people in rural America are suffering, as is the case across the country, with homes whose values may have depreciated to the point where the mortgages exceed the value of the home. The president's talking about the possibility and opportunity to refinance so that families get a little extra cash in their pocket to continue to stimulate the economy. Called for the continuation of the payroll tax extension and to rural America, the need for infrastructure improvement, taking basically half the resources that we're currently spending on war, applying them to deficit reduction, and the other half helping to rebuild roads, bridges, dams, ports, airports, high-speed rail, and alike. So all in all, I thought it was a speech that spoke to the values that are strong and endearing in rural areas, spoke about great opportunity for rural America and for agriculture, and excited to work with the president as he unveils his budget next month, and as we continue to work to build that America that's built to last. All right. With that, I'll take questions, Susan.
All right. Actually, we do have some callers on the line. Let's start off with Bloomberg News's Alan Birga. Alan, good morning.
Yes. Thank you for your time this morning, Mr. Secretary. Oh, in terms of general economic concerns, one thing that consumers often worry about are food prices. Understanding this president didn't speak about that as a general economic issue, what should consumers expect on food prices this year?
Alan, I think we're going to see, at least we're projecting, a reduction in the rate of increase in food in the country, which is obviously good news for consumers. We still, relatively speaking, have affordable food in this country, notwithstanding prices that increased a bit last year. But I think we'll see those prices abate just a bit this year.
Thank you.
Up next on the line from AgriNet News, Bill Ray. Bill.
Good morning, Mr. Secretary. My question would be more of a suggestion, really. It seemed to me like the president exuberated a great deal of confidence, and it looked like he really was he was quite comfortable last night. Would you comment to that, please?
Bill, I think the president is comfortable with several things. First of all, I think he is extraordinarily confident in the capacity of the United States to get back in the business of making things. I think he has confidence because he's seen the success of agriculture. I think he's also confident because he's seen the resurgence of the auto industry that some people gave up for lost. And I think he is willing to sort of go all in on America, which I think is important. I think he does realize, though, that this is a very important point. It's a make-or-break moment for the middle class. What we don't want to do is go back to the days where we had to scheme our way to prosperity for some and put prosperity at risk for most. I think he believes that when we get back in the business of making stuff in this country and we grow stuff in this country and we sell it and market it in fair and balanced trading relationships with folks, that America is going to win. And that's the America he sees for the future, and I think he's excited about that future. So I picked up on that as well. I thought he was very comfortable. I thought he was very optimistic and very forceful. And I think he laid it out pretty well for the country. You know, we have a choice. And you know, I think the choice for America has always been to support the middle class, to make sure that, you know, we have a government that basically creates opportunity. I think it was interesting he said at the end, you know, government should do no more for people than that which they can't do by themselves well. And I think he laid that out. You know, we're not going to be able to build by ourselves a road or a bridge or an airport or a railroad system. We need to collectively do that. We're not going to be able to create, you know, a fair trading system without our government making sure the trade agreements are enforced properly. We're not going to be able to have the private sector fully and completely provide broadband access to remote areas without some assistance and help in order to make the numbers work. But we shouldn't relegate those folks who live in rural communities and rural remote areas to be second-class citizens when it comes to technology. And the president acknowledged that last night. So I was pleased with his speech.
Next on the line, Katie Misick with DTN and the Progressive Farmer. Katie?
Thank you very much. Secretary, I was just thinking the President mentioned rebuilding roads and bridges, but he didn't mention locks, dams, or some of the dredging issues that we've had recently. Could you speak a little bit about what his plans for transportation could mean for farmers?
Well, you know, one of the things about a State of the Union address is it's really hard to talk about everything that people want to hear in a State of the Union address because it would, you know, it was already an hour long and some people were complaining about the length of it. So it's not unusual that the president wouldn't include a complete list of all the transportation issues that need to be addressed. But I can tell you that he's fully aware of the need for improved transportation systems because he understands that if we're going to get back in the business of making and exporting and doubling our exports, we've got to be efficient. We've got to get product to market more quickly than the competitor and less expensively. That requires a commitment. And when he's talking about taking half of what we're currently paying for these wars, which is a fairly significant amount of money, and redirecting it into infrastructure, he's talking about the whole gamut, everything from transmission lines to locks to dams to airports to bridges to roads. And the first step in that process would obviously be for Congress to pass a reauthorization of the transportation appropriations bill that would basically begin the process of laying out a long-term strategy for how we would spend money for transportation. And that would basically carve up, if you will, or allocate and apportion resources in that area. The president's also called for the development of an infrastructure bank, which would draw into it pension funds and other private sector resources that are looking for a safe and secure investment that will be repaid. Obviously, when you invest in some transportation systems or you invest in wastewater treatment facilities or items that have revenue capacity, you create a good opportunity for a stable investment. We just simply have to recognize that the rest of the world is not waiting for the United States to figure out that it needs to improve its infrastructure. If you travel anywhere overseas in these developing countries, you're going to see enormous amounts of money being spent on expanding broadband, on improving transportation systems. China and Korea, two very good examples of that. And that places them in a competitive advantage to us if we don't start looking at this economy and this country that's built to last.
We have time for one last call. Chuck Abbott with Reuters. Chuck?
Mr. Secretary, a couple of weeks ago at the Farm Bureau Convention, you announced the closing or plans for closing roughly 160 USDA offices. You mentioned the downsizing of the overall USDA task force, one of the things that's happening because of baby boomers retiring. Last week, the Food Safety Inspection Service announced a proposed change in poultry inspection. One of the results of it would be to reduce the number of meat inspectors by 500 to 800 people. What other areas should we expect to see contraction in USDA operations in the coming year? Where should people expect to see streamlining or merger of USDA activities? Obviously, the president's budget is going to ask for some sort of reductions.
Chuck, one of the things that I want to point out about the food safety item that you addressed is that the primary motivation for doing that has been that the data has indicated that we will have a safer food supply in doing it. By changing the nature of the work that's done will result in fewer people having to be on the line, but more people doing additional inspection work in other locations within the plant. And our belief is it will result in 5,200 fewer foodborne illnesses. But let me try to directly answer your question. You know, obviously we'll be implementing the blueprint for strengthening service that we announced in Hawaii at the Farm Bureau Convention. That entails going through the process of properly complying with congressional requirements in terms of public hearings and the like, and basically winding down those offices and consolidating the work and transferring the work into adjoining offices, most of which are within 20 miles of an office that's being closed. We will be reassigning and providing opportunities for those workers who are impacted by these decisions so that we hope very much to minimize, if not eliminate, any job loss and use retirements and attrition as the strategy for dealing with the fact that we will have a reduced workforce over time. There may very well continue to be in certain locations and circumstances additional early retirement opportunities based on workforce alignment. So that would be something that you would potentially see during the course of this year. You will continue to see us take a look at the administrative services project that came up with 369 recommendations for change in terms of how we internally do business with ourselves, how we do procurement, property management, human resources, finance, budget, IT, security, things of that nature, and see over the course of the next 6 to 8 months some additional recommendations for changes internally that may result in people being assigned or may result in additional restructuring of our organizational charts. You may continue to see some efforts. We're working with the National Agricultural Statistics Service and looking at their operations, and we may be taking a look at some announcements with reference to NAS because their budget has been constrained. What folks do not realize is that this process that we've engaged in is not just simply motivated or a result of recent reductions in budgets. If you take a look at NAS, if you take a look at rural development, if you take a look at the Farm Service Agency, what you'll find is that over the last 10 years, those workforces have either been substantially reduced. In the FSA's case, more than a third of their workforce is gone over the last 10 years. In rural development, you've seen a dramatic increase in workforce and roughly a 15% reduction in workforce. So as we've seen this over time, we've gotten to a tipping point where we just simply, if we want to continue the great service that's being done, the records amounts of services that are being done, we just have to be smarter. And the president yesterday, when he was talking about this America built to last, this government that's going to provide greater opportunity for the middle class, I think he is expecting us to be a smarter government and a better government. And so our whole focus here is to be smarter and better, to strengthen service, and to do it in the most efficient way so we can satisfy taxpayers that we're investing their dollars as wisely as possible.
And with that, Mr. Secretary, any closing remarks?
No, I just want to reiterate that I think that this is a very, very important time for the country. I think the president just simply laid it on the line last night that this is a make-or-break moment for the middle class in the United States. And in order for us to rebuild this middle class, in order for us to have an economy that's stable, secure, one that we can count on, that we need to come together and we need to build an America built to last, which I think really begins and ends with the notion that we need to be making and growing things in America and selling them effectively to the rest of the world. And agriculture is doing that. Agriculture is a proof point for the president's formula. It's probably the strongest proof point in the economy today, and we at USDA are going to continue to work for the American public to make sure that agriculture continues to succeed.
All righty. Everyone, thank you for joining us for today's media conference call.